Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to the Peristyle Podcast on a Sunday. We're going to talk some more USC Trojan football. We got the coach, Harvey Hyde. Follow him on Twitter, at Coach Harvey Hyde, or go to his website, harveyhyde.com. Things are coming down to the wire as far as the offensive coordinator goes. Looks like everything's pointing to Graham Harrell. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Talk about other things going on within the program, transfer portals and all that kind of fun stuff, answering some of your questions. If you have any questions for us, podcast at uscfootball.com is the email address, or you could call or text us at 424-254-9141. We appreciate your phone calls. We appreciate your texts and your emails and all that stuff. Before we jump into all that, just wanted to say hello to the coach, Harvey Hyde. How are you doing, coach? What's up?
Brian, I'm doing fabulous. And again, it was great getting together with you on Friday and having a nice lunch and relaxing for a while until I got on the freeway. I walked out, got a parking ticket, then got in the car and drove. Took me an hour and a half to get home. So it was quite a great afternoon, but I enjoyed every minute of it with you.
It was a lot of fun, coach. So we had lunch, like coach said, on Friday. It was pretty cool. I was down there on Thursday for the USC basketball game. The basketball team swept the Arizona schools. That was pretty cool, coach.
It was. It really was. And, you know, that's sort of surprising. I didn't know if they could sweep them, but they did. And I think it brings a lot of optimism to the basketball program. Now they got a tough trip this weekend up to the Pac-12 leader in Washington, Washington State. They should be able to handle them. But if they could get by Washington, that would really make them really in a position to challenge for the championship.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's probably going to be a one-bid league, so you got to make a run at the championship there. But I think USC is playing pretty well right now to beat UCLA, Arizona, and ASU back-to-back-to-back. That's pretty cool. So if you want to check out the USC basketball program, I believe it's a trip up to the Washington schools this weekend, and Washington's undefeated in the Pac-12, so that's going to be a tough one to overcome that. We'll see, but we're going to talk mostly football here, and we wanted to thank our sponsor, Southern California Tickets. You can go to SoCalTix.com or call them at 1-800-888-7287 if you need tickets for anything. You want to go to the Super Bowl? Today was the Pro Bowl. You want to check that out? It was more fun, coach, when that was in Hawaii. But the Super Bowl, of course, in Atlanta. You got the Lakers. Hopefully LeBron's coming back pretty soon. Clippers, I saw they got a win today against the Kings. Anything like that going on? We don't have baseball starting yet, but that's going to come up pretty soon. But if you need tickets for anything in Southern California or across the country, go to Southern California Tickets. Call them 1-800-888-7287. Tell Curtis that the coach sent you, and should get some kind of deal, right, coach, for just dropping your name.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. You better hurry quick. You better hurry if you want to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And you better get your wallet out.
Yeah, those are not going to be cheap tickets, but should be an interesting one. The Rams, they had the big send-off in L.A., so heading to Atlanta. I can't wait for this one. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think I'm going to head to Vegas for a day, coach, just to watch the game. So I think that'll be a good time. All right, so we got some news and stuff to sort of talk about. We'll get into the offensive coordinator stuff in a minute, but there's this NCAA transfer portal, coach. They didn't have this when you were around. This is a pretty new thing. Couple USC players are in it. Well, there's several USC players in it, but some guys, you know, like Akili Ross or Oluwole Batiku, guys like that. Like you've known they've been gone for a while. But the most recent ones, and I don't remember if we talked about this the last time we had you on the show. Brew McCoy, so he's the only five-star signee USC had. He was enrolled in school, was taking classes. I think it was like probably, you know, from it was 2.5 weeks or so of classes at USC, and put his name into the transfer portal. And the team that was recruiting him the hardest was Texas. He signed financial aid paperwork with Texas. They tweeted out a picture of him flying out to Austin today. So they expect him to be starting class tomorrow I believe Texas started either last week or they start this week. I don't remember what, but just they started a couple weeks after USC. Huge. I mean, he was a great athlete from modern day high school, feeder high school for USC. Obviously, a lot of Trojans came from that high school. So it's a big loss. He could have played wide receiver, or he could have been a linebacker, rush end, outside linebacker, even inside linebacker. Really athletic kid. So I think it's a big blow. Clay Helton did release him from his agreement, his letter of intent. So that means he goes to Texas. Doesn't mean he can play right away. He still has to appeal to the NCAA. But if he wasn't granted that release, he wouldn't have been able to appeal. And so now he's got a chance to play this year. 24/7 Sports is actually counting him since he was only around campus for a few weeks or taking classes for a couple weeks. 24/7's moved him over. He's going to be part of Texas's class. He's removed from USC's class. So the only five-star signee no longer there. And he'll be starting at Texas starting Monday. I know, Coach, if you had any thoughts on the whole Brew McCoy fiasco, everything that was going on.
Well, you know, Ryan, I tell you, I'd just like to hear something positive, you know, come out of the program. It hadn't really had many positive things come out of it since the end of the football season or before that. And to see him leave is really sad, first of all, for the Trojans and for the incoming class and for the influence that he might have on the players that still haven't signed or other players that might ask to be released. By releasing the student-athlete, too, I believe that means he could immediately go on athletic scholarship at Texas. So Clay Helton is making it very easy and convenient for them to leave, and I guess that's something you do. They made it very easy for Kingsbury to leave, $150,000 buyout, which means it's pretty easy to leave. And, you know, the Tournament of Roses has a theme this year, Ryan. I don't know if you've heard it for the 2020 parade. It's called A Power of Hope, the Power of Hope. And I think that right now USC should follow that and hope some things start to go in a positive way for them, because everywhere you go, everybody's saying what happened, what's going on. You've got the trustees bickering among themselves. Clay Helton, I don't know really. I haven't seen him, or he hadn't surfaced, or I don't know what's going on with him and Lynn Swann, what they're thinking about, or who's going to be named the offensive coordinator. There's so many different rumors there. Who's running the off-season program? The way I understand it, they don't have a football strength and conditioning coach. Now, these are just things I hear. I don't know, but I understand a strength and conditioning coach has gone to the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, it's just very disappointing to see a program that has great tradition, tremendous respectability in the world of football and nationally as far as the university itself, be at this spot. It's embarrassing. If you want me to tell you the truth, it's absolutely embarrassing that the athletic program has to go through this. The athletic programs have to go through this, because it affects every program. Don't think it just affects football. It affects every program and every faculty member and every student athlete and every student and every alumnus, because everywhere they go, I'm on my jog today and somebody says, "Stop speak. What's going on with the Trojans football program? I mean, you're almost afraid to go anywhere, but you're tired of talking about it." I mean, I'd love to see something positive happen so they can start turning it around.
Yeah, that would be good. And there might be some positive news. We're going to talk about that in a bit outside the basketball program, which is certainly positive news. But on the Brew McCoy line, Percy wrote in, he said, "Coach Hyde, have you experienced anything remotely similar to the Brew McCoy situation? And how do you recommend Coach Helton proceed leading this team forward, or is it only a matter of time?" From Percy.
Well, you know, you hate to lose great athletes. I've lost great athletes, but not in this fashion. Once I got them on campus, I made sure I took care of them. I was around them all the time. I made sure that during this period of time that we were giving him extra love and extra care, because he's a new student on campus and we're going through a lot of different turmoils and different things. You got to give him a lot of attention and make sure that you don't just wander away and you're not on top of what's going on with your recruits and your football players. I don't know just how much time they do that And I'm not talking about graduate assistants or GAs or that. I'm talking about coaches. I'm talking about head football coaches. I'm talking about having a kid in your office sit back and say, here, would you like a Coke or a glass of water or how about a cookie or something, and nurture this guy through this process. And I don't know. I hope they're doing that. I hope they're trying to show a lot of love to their players and say everything's going to be okay, and the coaches are individually taking care of their players, their current players, as well as recruiting new players. But that has a direct effect on your recruiting, because when players visit your campus, you have football players be their mentor. They take them around campus. They show them campus. They take them to a fraternity party or whatever they do. And you want positive vibes coming out of these team members. I mean, it can't be just made up. It's got to be sincere about, hey, you know, we're really going to be good, and this is a great place, and I would never consider transferring. If you look at the number of people who have left the USC football program itself, that would make up a pretty good recruiting year, just since the end of the year or a little bit before that, as you mentioned, Ukili Ross and the rest of them, Levi Jones. I mean, you look at these guys, these are pretty good. You'd have a pretty good recruiting year.
Yeah,
you can't lose these type of players. I mean, you're supposed to recruit them, keep them, develop them, graduate them, do the things that are necessary. You can't continually lose people like this, because all of a sudden it becomes a habit and others leave. It becomes easier for others to leave, and it becomes harder to recruit when you have this happening. So, you know, I'm very disappointed to see these players leave, and some of them, they left in a way where we really don't know why they had to leave. They just left. Some of them were flustered and didn't practice and left because of not having playing time or whatever. But you've got to be able to spend time with your players. You got to take care of your players and talk to your players and make sure they're not getting in trouble. You got to make sure, too, also that if they got a problem, they're not afraid to come in and talk to you about it. You're like a parent with them, not just a coach. So I'm hoping all that is going on, and that all goes back to the leadership, as the question was, of Clay Helton. He's got to be a strong leader. He's got to be able to let his coaches understand that what their jobs are as well as what my job is. And my job is to not only have a great football program, but be a leader, and a leader, the type of leader that people want to follow. My coaches, the athletes, the whole thing. We want people to want to be a Trojan. And you got to step up. And if you don't step up, I'm just going to tell you this now, if you don't step up, you're not going to be there long. Yeah. Okay? So someone's got to step up and do this. So it's all on Coach Helton's back. I'd hate to say it like this, but it is. He's the leader. He's the number one guy. So he's got to set the tone of what he expects from his coaches and recruiting and taking care of his athletes. And right now, I don't know what he's doing or where he is, but if, you know, I would think that I'd want to come out. I don't know if the media is being protected, or Tessalone or whoever it is, say you can't talk to anybody, or Swan can't talk to anybody. But, man, I'd have a press conference, say, we're getting this thing straightened away. Don't worry about anything. I'd be with my team. I'd be in the weight room. I'd be recruiting. I'd be everywhere. I'd be visual. I'd be on TV. I'd be flying around. I want to be interviewed. Let people know, hey, we still have a football program here at USC. Right now, I'm not sure what they have there.
Yeah, and we've made a lot of requests. So we've tried to talk to – we couldn't talk to anybody. We never got to talk to Cliff Kingsbury when he was hired. He never had a press conference for USC media. I put in a request. People were asking on Twitter, Coach, what's Liz Swann have to say about all this? I'm like, we ask all the time. They never give us an interview. So I emailed to try to get another interview and never even heard back on that one. So they're kind of doing their own thing. They're not really addressing things to the media. They're just doing things in their own way. And, you know, that's kind of what they're circling the wagons. That's kind of what they're doing right now. The Brew McCoy thing's gone. He's moved on. He's going to be at Texas. And, we put up a bunch of stuff in the war room, kind of a lot of about what happened behind the scenes with that decision. So if you're on USCfootball.com, go make sure you check out the war room. We got a lot of information there. And if you're not a member, we're doing a 5-for-1 membership deal right now, or 6-for-1 membership. So 5 months free. So you pay $9.95 and you'll get 6 months of insider access to everything on uscfootball.com. So it's a great deal, and only it's going till Monday night. So make sure you jump on that as quickly as you can. It's up on the front page of uscfootball.com. So $10, you get half a year of access. So it's pretty cool. The other thing, Coach, when we're talking about the transfer portal, it's created this whole new thing you got to check, you know, and the transfer portal is you have access from NCAA football coaches get access to this. But a lot of us reporters, we were able to, you know, get access to them. You can find out what's going on. Trayvon Sidney, the redshirt junior wide receiver, he's the latest to enter his name into the transfer portal. And it was curious for me, if you look at what he's done, he's 5'11", 170 pounds from Bishop Amat. So same high school as Tyler Vaughns. They were together. So he redshirted his first year along with Vaughns in 2016. 2017, he played 9 games. He had 3 catches for 35 yards. And in last year, he played in 10 games, 7 catches for 104 yards. He didn't play any special teams. All of his snaps were on offense. He had 139 total snaps last year. So not a lot of contributions, but you got the feeling, Coach, this is a player that could have thrived in air raid because you got 2 inside receivers usually, and I thought he would do pretty well. There's some fans that we've tweeted at or they've posted on message boards. They don't like him at all. And the other one's like, oh, he's a talent. So, I mean, it'd be hard to see. And so I think in Kingsbury's offense, it would have been fun to watch. Now, if USC goes out and hires Graham Harrell, another air raid guy, does that change Trayvon Sidney's mind? He's in the transfer portal, but he's not transferred yet. That just makes him eligible to transfer. Now, USC could cut a scholarship, too, if they want to. I don't think that's going to happen. But what do you think about Trayvon Sidney, Coach, putting his name in that transfer portal?
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. I don't blame him. There are a lot of great receivers now at USC. He hadn't got a lot of playing time. He feels he didn't get better, maybe didn't get coached up to where he expects to be and where they forecast him to be. In fact, I think a lot of these guys should be better football players. Look at Chuma down there in the Senior Bowl. All of a sudden, he became a football player. Why? And Marshall, why? I don't know. Maybe it's coaching. I don't know. I'm just saying that. Or maybe somebody woke him up and said, hey, son, it's time you become a football player. You aren't going to be playing anymore. So I think that you've got to coach these players up, and you've got to show them that you're the coach that can make him be a better football player. If you don't think you're getting this coaching and you don't think that you have an opportunity to play, then what you need to do is to go in and sit down with your receiver coach. And again, that's going to be a new coach in Colbert. Sit down with him and say, what's my future here at USC? And I've done that type of discussion with a lot of players. And I've said, let me tell you, you've got a scholarship here as long as you want to be here. But for you to start here, it's going to be difficult. But we're going to honor the scholarship we gave you. We're not going to take your scholarship because we're the one that offered it to you. But if you feel as though you'd like to transfer, I'm 100% behind you because I care about you. I want you to be happy. I don't want you to be on our team and not be happy. I want you to get the ability to play and the fun to play college football. I'll release you, and I'll even call schools to tell them about you and your availability. So, you know, you have to be honest with your players. And if you're not honest with your players and you continually tell them next week you're going to play, you know, like the Pittman situation. All of a sudden he wasn't playing, and all of a sudden he started the next week. I mean, you've got to have consistency in your program. You got to, why is it you can't see the potential, or why can't you determine who the best players are? And the players know who the best players are. Believe me, they go against them every day. They know who the best DBs are, the best defensive ends. If you're a defensive or an offensive tackle, you know who they are. You know who you don't want to go against who's going to whip you. So, you know, you got to be able to recruit, forecast, take care of your players, pamper your players, not have locker room lawyer players that go around and poison your team. You got to be able to be on top of the things that are happening in your football program and have the best interests of your team and players in mind all the time. And there are some players that maybe should transfer if they want to, not that you're forcing them to. And there's some players like McCoy what I've heard, that when he worked out on the field, was a gem, was a five-star, was a great player. Well, for him to leave my campus, I'd go with him. I'd say we're on the same plane to Texas, because I'd be recruiting him on the way to Austin, okay?
Yeah.
To try to get him back to L.A. or whatever it's going to take. I just wouldn't say, oh, you're going to go. I'd say, wait a minute. Why? What's happening? This and that. I don't know what the reasons are, except I know that he worked out there and something wasn't right. He had a feeling it wasn't right. He had a feeling things weren't going to be right. So he was one of the strongest ones that wanted to go to USC for what USC brought him off the field. The family, the networking, and all of a sudden he's gone. Well, there's got to be something wrong there for that to happen. At least I would want to find out why he's leaving if I was Coach Clay Hill, and I'd try to fix it. But I'd be on that same plane that you took a picture with. I'd be in the seat right next to it.
Nice. Well, we'll see. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen yet. And I think the offensive coordinator hire would be big. Someone like Trayvon Sidney, I feel, would have reason to want to stay if you're running some sort of air raid offense. So let's talk about the offensive coordinator position for a little bit. There were some reports. I felt like Jed Fish was going to be a big name for this. We had put Graham Harrell, who's the North Texas offensive coordinator for the past three seasons. We put him on our hot board back in December when we had reported Kingsbury took the job, but then it took a week for him to be officially named by USC. So we put up a hot board back then, and like 24 hours later, Kingsbury signed. So we really didn't have much use for the hot board, but he was one of the first names we put on there. You could sort of say he's like a Cliff Kingsbury light, kind of start of his career at Oklahoma State, but then he was a prolific quarterback for Mike Leach at Texas Tech. Like probably one of the most, he might have been the most prolific quarterback that Leach had there. And that's saying something, because you got a lot of guys that put up points. Didn't do much in the NFL. You know, came back to coaching. I think it was a GA at Oklahoma State. But he spent a couple seasons with Leach up in Washington State as receivers coach. Gets the offensive coordinator job. So he's working with Seth Littrell at North Texas. And they've won 9 games the past 2 seasons. 2016 was kind of rough. They turned it around. Prolific offenses for the last couple of years. Putting up a ton of points. And it's more of a, if you watch them, it's more of a, what Kingsbury ran at Texas Tech, where you could run the football more than what Mike Leach is running at Washington State. So not a little bit more of a balance as far as an air raid goes. So it's kind of his own spin on things. Seth Littrell was a big name. His name came up for actually Texas Tech. Looks like, you know, he's sticking it at North Texas. Probably next year he's going to get a big job. We were reported about a week ago or a little less, USC had reached out to Graham Harrell. He turned it down, and it was going to get like triple the money he was getting there. But there's a lot of reasons for him to want to stay at North Texas. If Littrell goes somewhere else, he could end up being the head coach there next year. And, you know, there's certainly concerns coming to USC because, you know, the program's in turmoil right now. And if you come out, I think for a guy like Kingsbury coach, it makes more sense. He's established himself already. For a guy like Harrell, he's trying to establish himself. There could be risk coming to USC if the team, you know, if they totally stink next year and they're under 500. That's not going to help him. Like he put up good numbers at North Texas, but when he came to USC, not necessarily because of him, but because of everything else. So I think there's some real risk there. There were a lot of reports that he was going to take the North Carolina job with Mack Brown. He had turned that down. We had heard last night, Bruce Feldman tweeted that Oklahoma State, I think it was last night or this morning, Oklahoma State and Mike Gundy was very interested in hiring hiring Graham Harrell, but they actually end up hiring Sean Gleason this morning. If you never heard of him, it's because he's Princeton's offensive coordinator. So that's 2 in a row. He found Mike Yurcich out of Division II, and then he did the same thing with Sean Gleason this year. So Gundy kind of pulled a surprise move, because it was either him or Harrell, or I think it was Eastern Washington's offensive coordinator that they were really looking at. And there wasn't much coming out of that search at all until today. They announced that that's who they hired, Sean Gleason. So that's better news for USC, because we had definitely heard that Oklahoma State could make a run. it might be more appealing to be at a more established sort of offense where Oklahoma State than coming to USC and really having to kind of, you know, fix a lot of things. So we have not got any kind of official word now. There's been some reports like from the Mean Green people that he had taken the job. There's other people that disputed that, but he was on campus this morning, Coach. And this is a long intro. Sorry. He was on campus this morning. We'll see. Maybe by the end of the show, he'll be announced maybe sometime tomorrow. I know USC's busy because they got a bunch of official visitors in this weekend. But it looks like that's the leader in the clubhouse, at least, the likely candidate. And from the very beginning, I thought that would be someone that would be a good replacement for Kingsbury. That's why we put him on the hot board way back in December. Any thoughts on USC potentially hiring Graham Harrell from North Texas, Coach?
Well, I'm glad you gave me all his resume because I don't know how many of our listeners out there would know who he is, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I've heard of him, but let me ask you, when you're USC, do you hire somebody that no one knows who he is? I mean, this is USC, man. I think we're getting back to that same old pattern. Is he a good recruiter in Southern California? I don't know. Is he a good recruiter? I don't know. Does he know how to find the USC's campus from the airport? I don't know. Does he know any high school coaches in Southern California? I don't know. Is he the fit? I don't know. And that's why I'm saying I don't want to hire an I don't know. I want to hire somebody that, ooh, my. That's great. And why can't they get a ooh, my? It's because of the situation of the football program at USC. There's probably several coaches who have been contacted to say, I'm not interested because of the situation and what's going on at USC, the leadership and everything else. Now, as far as the North Texas State head coach, I'll tell you, there's no guarantee he's going to go 9-2 next year. I mean, he should take advantage right now. And if he has the self-confidence that he can be the offensive coordinator at USC or another school such as that, and there aren't many like USC or used to be, like USC, I'm gone. I'm gone from North Texas, and I'm going to go right on into USC and probably be assistant head football coach in charge of offense and tell everybody to get out of my way. Get out of my way and let me run this offense and let me do what we try to do so that we can all be here next year. I'm not moving out here and moving my kids out here, my family out here, unless I plan on being out here and come out with a positive attitude. I don't want a guy coming in only because, well, I don't know if we'll be here next year. I want to come in. I want guys come in and say, we'll be here a long time. And I want to see this type of members and hirings that are going on the staff. I mean, man, I've nothing against this kid. I mean, really nothing. But why reach so far? I mean, why can't USC get somebody who's been there and done it before? And people get excited about it. So, you know, I'm not excited about the hire. I'm not excited about throwing the ball every down either. I don't know if the fans are either. You were, others are, you know, but he was here 35 days, never had an interview, got fired at Texas Tech, and comes to USC, and all of us didn't recruit one player except for McCoy, and I guess McCoy left. He was committed almost before that and gets a head job with the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, there's this thing going on right now. If you're over 35 years old, you can't get a coaching job anywhere. You got to be 35 and younger, okay? That's because of McVay and what he started. It's a trend. You got to throw the ball every down. You got to do this. You got to do that. I don't believe that. If they don't get the football because you're more physical than who you are, they aren't going to do that. I mean, New England against Kansas City last week held the ball for 43, almost 44 minutes, 36 first downs, took the ball and drove it right down the field, two drives in a row to beat Kansas City. And Kansas City's a team throws the ball all over the place. Now, it was a great game, but why can't USC beat USC? Why do they have to be somebody else? I mean, go out and get the best coaches in America at USC. And I keep saying that over and over, and I know everybody's sick of me saying this. Then get off your wallet. If they won't come, say, we'll give you this kind of money. And the guy says, I got to go. Was it North Texas State? I'm making, as a head football coach, maybe $450,000, $500,000. give him double to come as the offensive coordinator at USC and give him a 2-year contract. That's like coaching 4 years at North Texas State, okay? Hey, man, there's a way to get great coaches. You got to make where they want to come, but you show them that you want them. You don't. You get on your plane and fly down there, have him over to a steak dinner, sit down with his agent or whoever, and you say, we want you as our coordinator. What's it going to take? We want to win. Do you want to win? If you don't want to win, then we don't want you. But we're willing to give you what you need to be here and lead us onto the field against Fresno State next year.
Yeah.
And if you don't have that attitude, Ryan, to hell with it all.
Yeah. It's interesting. So we had heard and we reported in the war room that USC had reached out to Harrell like a week or so ago. There was certainly risk there, and he had turned that down. But I think from what we were told, USC sort of stepped things up. Is he a well-known name? No. I mean, people started talking about him when we put him on the hot board and stuff. And he's an interesting hire. He's sort of like Cliff Kingsbury before he became Cliff Kingsbury, like, maybe the time he got the offensive coordinator job at Texas A&M, where he coached Johnny Manziel for a year and they won the Heisman and all that. And then he got the head coaching job at Texas Tech. It seems like sort of that. So can it be a bit of a reach? Yes. I mean, I think, he's done good stuff, I think, at North Texas, but, and for USC to have to kind of convince him to come to USC. Yeah. There's some concerns there. I do feel it's different. Kingsbury was established and Harrell is not. So I think there's some more risk there. But if USC gets him, for whatever reason, whoever they were looking at, it's taken a while. It's, 3 weeks, almost 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks or whatever. If you've set your sights on him, and to me, coach, it would mean they want to run some sort of the air raid. They want to, be open like that. And, that's where they end up going. There's not a lot of great, candidates out there. It's hard. It's going to be tough to get someone to come to USC in the state that the football program is in. Kingsbury was a home run, but it was like made in heaven for USC and for him. Like, it was going to work out perfectly until an NFL franchise wanted to give him the job. But I think it'd be a pretty good hire for Harrell. I'm not sure. I've been trying to ask sources, how much does Seth Luttrell run the offense at North Texas? Cause I think he's a great offensive mind as well. So, we'll find out stuff like that, but he's sort of like one of those guys on the rise, coach. And at this point, I'm not sure if USC was going to really do a whole lot better.
No, I don't either. The hiring of Kingsbury was just just people didn't know what was going on. First of all, when he came here, did you really think he was going to stay here when he immediately started interviewing? I mean, really? I mean, the guy, what type of commitment did you get from him? I mean, you need to have a commitment. You got to tie a guy up that when he comes and you offer him this and you're willing to put your season ticket pack together with him and everything, he's not leaving. If he leaves, you're going to sue him because you got millions of dollars involved in this program. $150,000 buy it. It's a naive hire. It's a naive. You're naive when you think you're going to bring him in and he's not going to look around or somebody's not going to come after him. I mean, really. I mean, the guy, is been a head coach, been an offensive coordinator, been around. I don't know. I think it was a waste of time unless you lock him up, sign him up big time. Or did you hire him and Texas Tech was paying for the hire, and that's why he got out of it so easily, because you didn't have any money invested. I don't know. But my goodness, I tell you, I mean, to have this happen and then wait this long, and then again, like you said, Jed Fish possibly being the offensive coordinator, I think he would have been a good one. But now what's going to happen? The other assistant there is going to get the Cincinnati job, so Jed Fish is going to get his job. So that, that ruins that, and that's why they went looking to North Texas State instead of tying him up. They didn't have to announce it, but they're saying, okay, we'll wait 3 weeks or 2 weeks for the playoffs to be done, but it's a done deal. Sign this contract. Done deal. Or whatever, some type of commitment that he can't get out of, because you're making us look like a fool. And I don't believe when anybody says, I think that's what the deal was. You don't take 3 weeks to decide now you're going to hire the North Texas State coach or North Texas coach. I mean, please, you know, not at USC. Maybe I have USC elevated higher than what it should be. But the way I look at USC, that's the way I look at it.
We had a question, Coach, like on the offensive coordinator stuff. This is Big Rick. He said, so this is a text he sent in. From what we learned, Cliff Kingsbury falling into USC's laps was a gift from the football gods. Lynn Swann had two jobs with the hire and proved utterly unequipped to handle the situation. One, create leverage with the negotiation in order to secure a reasonable buyout to deter NFL teams. Not easy, but essential in deal-making. Not only was the buyout a joke, Swann also showed gross negligence with Helton's extension. And two, work on a contingency plan if the deal fell through. This would have created leverage by showing SC isn't desperate for Kingsbury. Also, we would have avoided adding insult to injury once Kingsbury bolted for the NFL. Please tell the athletic department to stop acting like we're lucky to be on the big stage and start acting like we belong again. It feels like we're slipping too far into irrelevance to crawl our way out. Where has the USC Big Balls Pete swagger gone? We are SC Big Rick from Alder Point, and he says, hashtag Urban 2020.
Well, you know, like I've said, this doesn't happen overnight. This has been a process, okay, with the ice melting, whatever you want to say, way back when it all started with the, you know, letting go of Mike Garrett, Pete Carroll, Nikias becoming president, whatever, how they got Mike to go, and then Pat become AD, and Pat didn't have the experience, and of course he had been Nikias's boss, being a trustee, so who's the boss there in that situation? Who answers to who? And the different experiences that Pat wanted to bring athletes, and I mean, you could see the inexperience there as far as him sitting in meetings and listening to plays and all the different things that you have to do that you don't have to do. You hire a football coach and you hire him because he can get the job done. Leave him alone. Give him everything he needs to get it done. So, and then the firing of the coaches, the way coaches were fired, I think that's not a professional way of letting someone go. And Pat was in charge of that. And then, of course, when Pat left, there's a lot of controversy about different things. And then all of a sudden, Lynn Swann came in, and they repeated the same process. Nikias hires Lynn, same type of process. I don't know if there was any other candidate. Steve Lopes, we thought, was. And I like Steve Lopes a lot, and maybe I think he deserved it. At least he's there, and he knows the set up, and he's been an athletic administrator for a long period of time. And I'm not saying that he's better than anybody, but he certainly knows the territory and knows what's going on in the athletic department as far as the overall picture. So Lynn comes in and learns. Lynn is learning on the job. You know, you look and you see who's left the athletic department since he's come. You've lost your Haley, your volleyball coach. You've lost Gaston, I forget the golf coach.
The women's golf
Andrea,
coach.
Andrea Gaston, she's gone to Texas A&M. She didn't want to go anywhere. She's a great coach. They let her, you know, they just came in and offered her something and let her go. Here's a coach that's taken the golf team to the NCAAs almost every year and won national championships. And then Maui El-Shirawi, the academic advisor, one of the tops in the country. He's out of here. He went to Georgia. I mean, what the heck's going on? I mean, a lifetime dream is to go to USC and then have your children go there too because they get tuition free if you're an employee at USC. So it's a great, great education too. So I really don't know where we are or what's going on, but there's got to be, there's a big hole in the ship and it's sinking.
Yeah. We got an email from Jim in Newport Beach, Coach. He says, thank you for all the great coverage of USC football. I look forward to the show every week. Since the Cliff Kingsbury debacle, it seems that everyone is exclusively talking about the air raid type of offense. And Graham Harrell would obviously be that. It seems like everyone feels that at this point, the talent at USC is geared towards this type of offensive philosophy. Why can't they hire someone who can install a physical but still balanced type of offense? After all, under the right leadership, a school like USC should be able to recruit whatever talent it needs. Or would there have to be a change of head coaches to do this? Thoughts, Jim in Newport.
Well, that's been the philosophy all along, really. They haven't been a running football team. They've talked about it, but they throw the ball whenever they get to the goal line or anything. What type of goal line offense did they have? They passed the football and threw the fade route and did the different things. They really haven't showed double tight, under center, power after tackle, all the different things. Or what they did, they didn't have a tight end in there. They crashed down, and all of a sudden they lose 2 yards. I mean, really, it's been a pass offense. They've called it a no-huddle offense, except it was a no-huddle offense. It wasn't a hurry-up offense. You stand and look at the sideline. It was a combination of, I don't know what, 31 flavors, I called it. You got one play off of every offense. No series, no rhythm, no identity. I mean, we've talked about this, and I don't want to sound negative, but I do. But how long have we been talking this? I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, I get calls all the time from football people that are asking me what's going on. And I say, I don't know what's going on. You're watching the same game I am. And so are you people out there that are listening. You watch the same game I'm watching. I'm not watching a different game. And USC people are hardcore football fans. They know right and wrong, and they know what's going on and why the tight end. They talked about they're going to utilize the tight end now for 5 years. I think in 5 years, the tight ends caught 40 passes, all of them combined, maybe. I mean, I don't understand it. So, yeah, I think there needs to be an overhaul. There needs to be an overhaul in attitude because they haven't coached a tough brand of football as far as on the offensive line type of philosophy of blowing somebody out or owning the line of scrimmage. It's passive. And the same thing on the defensive line as far as aggressiveness and getting after people and being tough and physical. And so we'll see what happens. But, you know, and I don't like to sound this way. I really do. And I apologize to people. But I'm not the one to put them in this position, okay? I'm only the one that's talking about the position they're in. The things that we talk about on these podcasts are things that they've done with players leaving or recruiting the wrong players or running this offense or the turmoil in coaches or whatever. We haven't done that. We're just talking about what's going on.
Yeah.
We didn't create it.
100%. There's not a lot of positive things to talk about. There's some. We're trying to focus on those too, but there's a lot of negative stuff going on right now. I think, you know, Graham Harrell, I think, would excite some fans. We'll see if that ends up getting finalized. We got a voicemail from Bob in LA, but it was a little too long, Bob. But he had expressed, you know, he had been at an event with both John Jackson and Gary Paskowitz, and he was talking about how wonderful of a time he had. And I think this was a response to our last show where we talked about the unfortunate passing of Gary P. So thanks, Bob, for sending that in. He's not a big fan of the way the athletic department's being run right now. So, but we've talked a lot about that, Bob. Thank you. And thanks for your sentiments about both JJ and Gary P. And we got one last question, Coach. Don, who's not, you know, he's definitely a glass half empty kind of guy when it comes to USC football. He loves writing in and he's got some good stuff sometimes, but he said, is the transfer portal, the NCAA transfer portal, a good thing? It looks like free agency to me. College football needs to be careful so this transfer policy does not get out of control. Don't like the coach? Transfer. One more playing time? Transfer. Another school's recruiting class looks better? Transfer. This is college athletics, isn't it? We seem to be making policy decisions to make the elite athlete happy and forgetting that there are players who will never become professionals who are also important to the team. That's from Don.
Well, yeah, you know, Don, I agree with that. Let me tell you, I think that going and making a decision on something is like a marriage or shaking hands. And when you sign a contract, it means something as far as loyalty. And you've done a lot of thought as far as behind where you want to go to school and what you're looking at and what your major is and who your coach is. But then I also think that athletes, too, should have the opportunity that if they're recruited by a certain coach, and before the national letter of intent, whether it be assistant or a a head football coach and that coach leaves, I think they should have a process when they can determine whether they want to still keep that commitment. Because right now, so much decision, on where you go to school is what offense do they run, who's the head football coach, how many games do they win, and that's why I want to go to school. It's yes, it's very important that you're a major school, but also the name recognition of your football program on who's coaching it, what awards, how many first-round draft choices do they have. All of this is very important. Now, how many first-round draft choices have USC had lately? I mean, stop and look at that. So why would that attract a lot of great linemen? Or why would that attract a lot of great players? Because really, the players haven't gotten better and moved on and been in a position to get better and developed. So, you know, and also I think that if a player doesn't have the ability, like I said before, and you made a mistake and he made a mistake, that you should be able to sit down and have that type of arrangement when you can release that player. But I also think, too, that the national 11-10, this early signing period, I don't like. And I've said it from day one, because when you're coaching and finishing your season, your bowl games, your recruiting, you're trying to get players to sign, and then after that, coaches leave. I don't think that's right. They take other jobs. There's too many jobs that come up after the early signing date. I don't like that. I've always said the signing date should be moved back a month so that it's a signing date later, so all the coaches have left and all the jobs are done, and now a student athlete has the opportunity of deciding where they're going to go to school because they know who's coaching where. But, you know, they have continually, I don't know who makes all these rules, but they're not really understanding what the process is as far as on the coaching side and also on the recruit side. They can eliminate a lot of these incidents and a lot of this transfer, a lot of these problems they have if they would just do that. You can't contact any coaches or you can't leave your school till after the bowl game that you play in, or after the national championship game, or whatever. Hey, why should a coach leave when he's coached his team to a bowl game, and all of a sudden he says, I'm leaving, I'm going to my new job, have an interim coach? What kind of loyalty is that stuff? What kind of deal is that? I think that's ridiculous. That's because he wants to get started and put his staff together and get going. But if you have a rule that you can't make any changes until after that, then none of that happens. And just move recruiting back a month or month and a half. Big deal. And I liked it when it was one big day and it was coverage everywhere and everybody got to sign and everybody followed it on national TV and you, Ryan, on your site and everything. I liked that. What's all this early signing period? Nobody, after a while, everybody not sure they're happy where they went. So, you know, that's just my ideas on that. And I think it's a terrible time to be recruiting when you're in a bowl game and all these other things are going on and you get distracted. And I think you should just have the time to let the kids make a good decision, and also after all the coaching changes have been made.
Yeah, Coach, I agree with you there, and thanks, Don. Here's the thing. Well, I mean, I agree with most of it. I like rules that help the player, because there's just not a lot of rules that do help the player. So if you make it easier for a player to transfer, I'm usually, you know, pro stuff like that. But it can get a little bit out of control. And I think the way they've designed the early signing period, like you said, is really poor. I think you make a rule and you don't anticipate, you thought like some people would sign early. It's become the signing day. Well, the problem is you're preparing for bowl games. There's a lot going on. It's really impacting the coaching search. The reason USC probably hired Cliff Kingsbury as soon as they did was because you had the early signing period coming up. So I think it's impacted the college game in a negative way by having it in the timing you did, like right before Christmas. It just seems like it's a horrible spot. I don't mind an early signing period if you want to do it in like, if you did something in like August, I think you would get a few players to sign. You'd get like the Jason Rodriguez of this class, like someone that's like, I'm going to USC no matter what, and that, and you move on. And then everyone else signs during the, you know, February signing period. I think that would work a lot better. If you do it much earlier, you know, a few months earlier than December, I think you get just the early birds that they already know where they want to do. it's not, they don't care who gets hired or fired. They're just, you know, but you do it in December. Now it's like, it's part of this whole, it's just a weird timing stuff to me. So with the transfer portal and that, it's just kind of a weird time. I think you got to figure this out and move that early. I think if you move the early signing period, Coach, you'd probably fix a lot of these problems.
No, I agree. And I'm not for an early signing period in August. I know you might think that's good, because first of all, you know, you could have coaching changes there too. And there isn't anybody who wants to go to a school no matter what anymore. That doesn't happen anymore. They always are looking for a better place or what's best for me. The team atmosphere, the team thought is really not there anymore. Is how can I get to the NFL quickly? How can I do this? How can I graduate early? How can I, all the different things, which is important. Don't get me wrong. But if you just had one signing period when all the coaching changes had been done, and why should I sign? Look at the coaching side of it. What if I sign a kid in August, as you said, and what if he blows out his knees, both knees, yeah, during his senior year? Now, don't get me wrong. I feel sorry for the kid, but now I'm strapped with a kid that's got two blown out knees that signed with me. I mean, it goes both ways.
Yeah.
Get through the football season. Get it done. Have time to digest what happened. Get your staff in place. Have a kid digest his season, his visits, the whole thing, and then have a signing period.
Yeah. I like the one signing period better, but if you want to do an early one, I think you got to do it way earlier. Like, doing it in December is not really – you just put it in, like, the worst spot. It just seems like where would be a terrible spot to put it? Well, pretty much there.
No, you're exactly right. Here you are getting ready for all the bowl games, and they're trying to announce National Signing Day. I mean, how ridiculous is that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's stupid. And whoever voted for that, and I mean, all you presidents or whoever it is, NCAA things, you got to get your head screwed on right. No, I really feel that way. How can you get your team ready to play? Are you doing what's right for your football team getting ready to play in a bowl game or the Rose Bowl game or something when you're worried about national letter of intent? Let me tell you, you're doing the right thing, making home visits, traveling all night, traveling back, getting off the plane, running to practice. I mean, what are you doing? I mean, yeah. That isn't the best interest of everything. Not at all.
No, I agree with you there, Coach. Well, that's a pretty good show. We'll find it. We'll keep tabs on all this. What's going on with USC's offensive coordinator search? Is it Graham Harrell? Is it going to be somebody else? Air raid? What are we doing? Will they make him available? Will we get a press conference? Or will it just be a statement? Who knows? We'll find out through USC and all this kind of stuff. But Coach, great stuff. Great talking to you again. And it just seems like when there's not much to talk about, we find a whole lot to talk about.
Ryan, I said the same thing when we start this. What do you want to talk about? Oh, we've got a few questions. Hell, we've gone 50 minutes.
Well, there. I mean, there's news. You know, there's news you got to talk about, and you know, it's fun. All right,
that's right. I'm going to go watch True Detective. You ever watch True Detective?
I have not. I want to, though. Everyone says it's good, so I want to check it out.
You got to get into this stuff, buddy. You got to give up golf and watch a little TV.
Yeah, no, I watch play TV, but I do like playing golf. All right. Well, that's the Coach Harvey Hyde. I'm Ryan Abraham, if I could say that correctly. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Peristyle podcast, and we will talk to you next time.
Tickets, tickets, tickets. SC Tickets is your concert, sports, and theater ticket source. We have the tickets you need to any event worldwide. Football tickets are now available. Call SC Tickets now at 1-800-888-7287, 1-800-888-7287, That's 1-800-888-7287. Or visit us on the web at sctickets.com. SC Tickets, concerts, sports, and theater.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by uscfootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. And don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.